This is Doug Miller.
Jerusalem. She's the center of this world as far as God's concerned. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand to talk into this mic and to see this Word go out as far out as we can get it to, as many as we can get it out to, knowing that this Word is life and it is light, knowing that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, knowing that God is still in the business of changing lives and saving souls, and this gospel message is still going out, and the door of salvation is still open to any who will enter, knowing that any who wish may come and take of the water of life freely. We are in the 8th chapter of Zechariah. In fact, we started it last week and got through the first two verses and didn't even get through all of the second verse. So we'll begin again today in Zechariah 8, verse 2. Bring your Bibles, come along, open up, and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out as far out as we can get it to, as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the assistance of the Lord's people. Please pray for Dialogue. Without the prayers of the saints, this can go nowhere. I can talk into the mic. I can make noise. It will be little other than noise. We need the power and energy of the Holy Spirit, and we need Christians raising up their voices before the throne and praying, not just for Dialogue, for a lot of things. But I just hope that all of you believers out there are praying and that you do pray for Dialogue. Now, we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you would like to email us, we can accommodate you on that. The address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page, yeah. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? DialogueMinistries.org. And finally, if you wish to talk to me, be happy to talk to you. You may call. And the number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 535-9089. You will get a recording, and I will ask you to leave a message, and you do it, and I will get back with you. And I promise you, I really will. Okay. Before we get into Zechariah 2, I want to just read a passage that's out of Isaiah chapter 2. And this is a well-known passage, and I'm going to read the whole thing. Because it fits in so neatly and so nicely with what we are looking at in Zechariah 8. Here we have it, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, and we will read down through verse 5. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. That, if you will notice, is a prophecy about the last days. Isaiah says very clearly, in the last days. He also says very clearly that this is the word which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Notice the exalting of the mountain of the Lord, and the Lord ruling and reigning out of Zion, and the God of Jacob, and all of the Gentiles flowing up to Jerusalem to do what? To learn of the way of the Lord. Now, with that in mind, let's go back and look at Zechariah again. When we left last time, we have the Lord saying, I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now, that word mountain occurs in that passage we just saw in Isaiah, doesn't it? Certainly does. And when you see mountain in this case, think of not just a mountain, not just a high place. You can think that. That'll work. That's fine. But think also of a government or someone who is ruling or reigning, and a government established. And I can tell you right now that there is not a government in this world today that was established by Almighty God, except in the sense that of Romans 13, where all government and all the rulers are in the place that they are in because God set them there. And to the extent that we can, we are to be obedient and lawful and law-abiding. But none of those governments is anything like what we are going to see in the last days. Jerusalem is again going to be the center. And God, in the person of his Son Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is going to live there physically. I'm not talking about some spiritual presence or some, disembodied spirit, there. I am talking about a physical person. He is today physically present at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he is physically coming back to this earth and will physically walk this earth, and he is going to live and dwell in Jerusalem, and he's going to reign from there. And it is at that time that we will have peace on this earth, and not until. And if you are thinking anything other than that, think again. Now notice Jerusalem in this second verse here shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Well, if there is anything that Jerusalem is not today, it is truthful and holy. For all of you who think that there is something, very special in this sense about Jerusalem, I've got news for you. As I said last time, those individuals are back there for the most part in unbelief. They are rejecting the Messiah. Even the Orthodox there who are waiting for Messiah, well, guess what, guys? You go on and wait for him, and when he comes back, which he will, and when he comes and when you see him, you're going to get the surprise of your life, because he's going to have nail prints in his hands and in his feet and a wound in his side. And you are going to be looking at the same Jesus that went away so long ago. And it is then and then only that the truth and the holiness of Jerusalem is going to be established. And right now, what's going on over there? Well, I love the Jews. I love them dearly. But what they are doing is wrong, And they, as I said last time and have said many times on here, have not begun to see trouble yet. Now let's see what else the Lord Yahweh Tzabaoth has to say. That was finishing up verse 3 there. And here we have in 4, thus saith Yahweh Tzabaoth, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age or for a multitude of days, literally. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. What a wonderful, beautiful picture. Jerusalem, once again, at the risk of repeating myself, the name means the foundation of peace. You know, Salem, the last word there is a word that means peace. Jerusalem, and yet men may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. Jerusalem is one of the most fought over and beaten down and destroyed cities in the history of the world. It has been the center of war, and it is right now, even as I speak, the very center of war and hostility. There is hatred there, going both directions, really, and struggle and strife. And you've got the Muslims over there who want Jerusalem and who cannot live without it. And you've got the Jews over there saying, well, you're not getting Jerusalem because we're not moving out. And you've got the Christians who are saying, well, could we have a little bit of the action here? I mean, there are all these churches over there, and every group under the sun has built some kind of church or shrine there in Jerusalem. And it is simply a place of war. And the foundation of peace is a place of blood and strife. And, you know, I mean, there are rockets being launched into that area, out of the Gaza Strip and out of Syria and out of the West Bank every now and then, even out of Jordan sometimes. And but look at the picture here of what is coming. We read about it in Isaiah, didn't we? And it's a good one to think about. At this time, our Lord Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and he is the only one that can establish peace, and he will establish it. And men will indeed beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming, and I'm persuaded it's coming in the not-too-distant future. And what do we have? We're looking at the millennial reign of Christ here, the time that the prophets in the Old Testament, almost all of them wrote about this one. Almost all of them, if they looked forward to the last days at all, they wrote about this glorious millennial kingdom. We have it in Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, pray, thy kingdom come. That's out of the so-called Lord's Prayer, and we have Gentiles praying that all the time. You know, as a ritual, repeating it over and over in the churches, and most of them don't even know what they're praying about, if I can be so bold. Well, I'll tell you what they're praying about. That prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer, is very much a Jewish prayer. It's more a disciple's prayer. The Lord told his people, pray thy kingdom come. The kingdom is the millennial kingdom. The kingdom on this earth, it is not something spiritual off in the heavens somewhere. Yes, the Lord is ruling and reigning in a very real and important sense from heaven right now. Yes, in eternity the Lord will rule and reign, but there is an earthly kingdom coming, and all of the prophets promised it. And one of the things that will characterize this earthly kingdom is that the Lord will be there. The last verse of the prophet Ezekiel says of Jerusalem that its name will be called Yahweh is there. That's Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. And he will establish peace, something that we have never really seen on this earth since Cain killed Abel. But we're going to see it, and it will not be brought about by the United Nations. And it will not be brought about by the efforts of men. It will not be brought about by Oslo handing out the Peace Prize. It will not be brought about by any of those things. It will be brought about when our Lord Jesus is physically on this earth and ruling, and men will indeed beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now let me say a little something about the gospel as it is going out right now. Whether or not you who are listening to me agree with this, and whether or not you all know this, there is a verse in the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 1, and it simply says this: Therefore, because of our faith, or having believed, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, once again, very important. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that that verse implies that without faith, we are not at peace with God, that warfare or strife exists? That's the truth. Warfare is there, and it is not because of God. It's because of us. A little farther down in that fifth chapter of Romans, in verse 8, we have this: that God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a song that we sing throughout Christendom at this time of year that we've just come out of, in particular, a song written by Charles Wesley, in which the lines occur, God and sinners reconciled. There was war, there was enmity. It was not God's fault, it was ours, but God has made peace, and our Lord Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, what we have been looking at here in the eighth chapter of Zechariah is the peace of the whole world physically, and men and women, old men and women in the streets of Jerusalem. Old because they have not died in killing and fighting, and they have lived into old age. Children playing without fear in the streets of Jerusalem rather than being afraid and living in bomb shelters. But what we have in Romans 1 is something else. It is a spiritual peace. It is something that individuals can have even now by faith. Let me ask something. I don't know who's listening to me out there. I don't know how many listen. I don't know how many say, I think I'll turn this guy off, I've heard enough of him. But I want to tell you something. You'd better not turn this off. You had better listen. This world in which we live is a world at war. It is a world of bloodshed and hatred. I mean, you can talk peace, peace, all you want, but there is no peace. You can talk brotherly love and all of this stuff all you want. There is no such thing going on. You can talk about, you know, electing the right people to office, and you feel all warm and fuzzy because now people are going to love one another. They are not. What we have, and any of you who are so slow and so self-deluded that you can't see the hatred and the viciousness and the violence out there, what can I do but pray for you? There is no peace. And yet, you as an individual, let me tell you why. There's no peace because men are at enmity with God. And when you are at enmity with God, you are at enmity with one another. And it's just that simple. If you're sitting out there listening to this and saying, well, I don't believe that, tough. I don't care whether or not you believe it. It is also in the book of Romans. You have to go back and you can read this in the third chapter of Romans, where Paul writes, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. We are at war and we are at enmity with God, but there is a way out of this for you as an individual. I'm not talking about converting the nations. I'm not talking about mass conversions. I don't think that's ever going to happen. What I am talking about, I am talking to a bunch of individuals out there, and you listen to me. You, if your life is at enmity with God, you've got all kinds of problems. And you might, I mean, you can say, well, I didn't get enough education. Well, I lost my job. Well, I got a neighbor living next door I can't get along with. Well, yeah, I can't get along with my husband or my wife. Listen to me. If you are rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not believed that simple gospel and cast yourself upon the mercy of God, if you have never said, yes, he died for me, yes, he was buried, yes, he rose again the third day, and the gospel is to me, and it is salvation without works. It is free of charge. All I have to do is reach out and take it. If you have never done that, then there can be no peace for you. And I am telling you right now that this is the truth. Now, we're running out of time. I urge you, I beg you, I implore you, if you are not saved, what better time than to get saved right now? Let's look at verse 6 of Zechariah 8. Thus saith Yahweh Tzabaoth, the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? No surprises for God. God's going to do it. And if people say, what a wonderful thing this is. Yes, God said all along he would do it and he would bring it about. But notice there's a word that comes in verse 6 here, and the word is remnant. There is a small number that will live to be in the good of this. And I want to tell you something. God has always been dealing in remnants. I heard a teacher on the radio the other day, or on TV rather, and I couldn't agree with him more. He said, you know, Elijah said to God in Mount Horeb, you know, he said, they've digged down your altars, they have killed your prophets, and I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. God says, well, yeah, I've got 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Balaam nor kissed him, and they are still faithful to me. Well, this guy said, he said, you know, 7,000, that sounds like a lot, but there were 7 million living in Israel. So the 7,000, that was 0.1%. God is dealing in remnants. If you think that living in America, that we are living in a Christian nation, we are not. It's a remnant in America that is being saved. And that doesn't mean that you, whoever you are, shouldn't be saved. But if you are thinking in terms of sweeping numbers, no, it's a remnant. There's a remnant that will be brought through the great tribulation to stand in the millennial kingdom. There is a remnant of Gentiles in this world right now who will hear the shout and the trumpet and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Will you be one of them? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.